Joining me on the line is Tony Lowes from Friends of the Irish Environment. Tony, first of all, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Donnie. Good morning.
Now, Tony, I am reading very disturbing reports in relation to the dredging of Warren Point Harbour. Nothing untoward in that, and indeed they are more entitled to dredge Warren Point Harbour, and the best of good luck to them. The problem is, Tony, the silt that's coming out of it.
That's the problem, the scale of it, and the fact that they're now changing what they're going to do with that dredged material. And the records show that 1 year they dredged 390,000 cubic meters of spoil, which has within it chemicals that reach the threshold of the danger point. Now, they've been taking those 22 miles out to sea and dumping them out there, where the dispersion at least is significant. But now they propose to, I think in a cost-cutting exercise, to buy a smaller boat and to dump it within the lock itself. And they've done this with very little public consultation and no public consultation with the public that lives down in the Republic of Ireland. So we're very concerned that when you have the border running through the middle of a lock and you have these two sites very close to that middle of the lock point and you have incredible number of different species, the diving club there says that it is the richest diving site that they have in Ireland, and they describe a reef that's not very far, for example, from the one of the disposal sites, that goes down 60 meters and contains species that they never see anywhere else. So the whole proposal to stop dumping at sea and start dumping in the lock is worrying for everybody involved in it. Those who love nature, it's worrying for the Carlingford Lock oysters, for the mussels, for all the aquaculture. And yet, we have not been able to get an environmental impact assessment.
Tony, for the benefit of our listeners this morning, now I am familiar with the area up there and I know exactly what you're talking about, but there is, for all intents and purposes, as you already said, a border running through the middle of the lock. On one side of it is Warren Point and on the other side is Carlingford Lock. Two questions. Number one, are the dredging boats, or the boats carrying the spoil, are they crossing that border and dumping it in Carlingford Lock, or are they dumping it on the northern side and Cordons are bringing it to the southern side? That's the first question. And number two, and if we can leave the environmental side of it out of it just for a second, and I'm just asking this question on a totally practical level. Surely the idea of dredging Warren Point Harbour is to make it more accessible to boats, because a lot of these boats, what's under the water is massive. If you have a harbour that's full of silt, they can't come in because they get the land on what is basically a sandbank. If you do not move the spoil that you have taken out of the lock out into sea where there is a shelf that it drops down maybe 100 or 150 metres, surely you're creating a sandbank within the perimeters of the harbour for an incoming boat or a boat crossing from one side to the other to get stuck on.
Well, the first question is answered simply enough, and that is that the proposed sites that they've chosen are both on what they would feel are their side of the border that runs down the middle of the lock. And that's what's creating problems for us, that in a cross-border situation like that, the law is very clear that if there's an environmental impact assessment, then everybody has to be consulted, even if there's a border there. The second one is that they are saying that the current flow will disperse this sediment so that you won't get a big buildup on the bottom. But of course, that kind of begs the question, is where is this buildup going then? Is it going to go be dispersed into the oysters, which are on the bottom of the lock, or the mussels which are hanging on lines? Because it doesn't vanish. It's one of the things that we've learned, is that when you put something into the ocean, it can actually end up in a polar bear's tummy in the Arctic if we're not careful.
Well, we have also seen, Tony, and, you know, and, like, this is a topic, if we wanted to broaden it out, that we could spend the entire 2 hours talking about it. And we have seen, and there is proof of it, that plastic at sea finishes up in fish and eventually finishes up in the human food chain. So is there a possibility that some of this muck, and I'm choosing my words carefully, being taken from Warden Point Harbour could actually finish up in the human food chain?
That's exactly what Bordis Lumara, our promotion body for aquaculture, is saying, that this is exactly what the possibility is, and that the state must defend those who are practicing aquaculture there in order to ensure that this doesn't happen. We don't want cadmium with our fresh mussels for dinner, and that's the danger. I think what it does, though, is highlight something that we've been increasingly concerned about, which is that the border as such, it doesn't really exist when it comes down to ecology. It's very fine and well to, you know, to talk about a border in terms of administration and to talk about a border in terms of permit, which obviously we are. But when you have something like an example we've chosen is a pig farm in Limavady in Northern Ireland. That's the Causeway and Glen's local authority there. That pig farm is producing ammonia, and that ammonia is dissipating in the atmosphere and coming down and affecting us. And we've already, just last year, breached our ammonia limits. So what's happening is that projects that are across this political border are impacting on our environment down here. And if that's the case, then we definitely have the right to comment on it. And the same should apply the other way. If we're engaging in agricultural intensification, well, dairy herds down here, and that's producing emissions that are affecting Northern Ireland, then surely they have the right to comment on that as well. So you can see where this leads. It leads to a situation where there really shouldn't be a border when we're talking about the environment. Whatever happens to Brexit and whatever happens to the actual physical border on the ground, this is a battle that people are very slow to engage in, and we're finding it very difficult to make headway. Although there's not only the environmental impact assessment itself, there's also a thing called the ESPU Convention, which we invoked when England built the new nuclear plant at Hinkley. And we said, hey, that could affect us. We have a right to comment on it. And the English authorities said, no, it'll only affect the estuary around it, you know, it would never affect Ireland. And we succeeded after 3 years, I think, in getting a consultation opened up here in Ireland about the impacts over there. And I think this is the way things are going. We're going to have to stop thinking that we have these little areas where these little impacts are going on and look at it much more in terms of it's all one world out there.
Yeah, Tony, you know, and again, I don't wish to diminish what you've said, but we'll say something like a pollutant in the air, that's kind of hard to control as such, okay? But, you know, you just said there that after 3 years you succeeded in getting a discussion going on in relation to that problem. But could I put it to you, Tony, that if you're dredging Warden Point Harbour at the rate that those dredgers takes silt and muck out of a harbour, that we can't really afford to wait 3 years to get a discussion going on it? I mean, either number one, it needs to be stopped, or number two, regulated, and go back to what you were saying was the original approved sites, which are 22 miles out to sea. And there is a reason, I would think, in my uneducated way, that they picked a site that was 22 miles out to sea.
You've hit on the core point here. Now, this is a cost-cutting measure. Now, whether, you know, we should accept potential environmental damage like this to save the Warren Point Port money seems to me a very poor argument to put forward. Why do not they continue to dump the spoil in what we hope is a relatively harmless place and not take the risks that are involved by moving inside Carlingford Lock? If there were other compelling reasons, then we might look at them. But to suggest that we risk environmental damage simply to in a cost-cutting measure, I don't find that really holds much water.
if you'll pardon the pun.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that.
But the other side of it, Tony, and we know this the world over, we have seen this, you know, and I mean particularly since the advent of a certain president in America, that money seems to be the number one driving factor now. The environment, ecological damage, which it has to be pointed out, Tony, in a week that has shown us that, what is it, 40% of the world's wildlife has disappeared in the last 60 years. You know, it would appear that finance is the entire driver of everything now, and, you know, to some of the political elite, posed the question, are we living in a society or are we living in an economy? And it would seem to me, from everything I see around me, that we're living in an economy.
Yeah, I think we're getting down to a really core point here. One statistic that you won't hear is that there are 2.5 times as many people employed in the solar industry in America as there are in the coal industry. When we talk about the economy, it's not the economy that's bad. It's the way it's directed and its impacts if it's not properly controlled. I think Keynes, you know, the original economist who gave us our current economy, talked about the scourge of the economic system, and the scourge is the poverty. There are ways to bring people out of poverty. There are ways to bring in environmental protection with a booming economy, but it has to be directed. We have to, for example, stop this idea that women can't contribute to society. Half of the world's population are women. And in the case of the Muslims, for instance, of which we have about 2 million, 1 million of them can't contribute. That's crazy. We need those people. We need that help. It's been shown again and again in countries like South Korea that if you put all your money into education, it pays off big time. That's the kind of use of the economy that we have to come around to see. We can't just see it anymore. Oh, there's jobs here. Let's go. Because there are alternatives, and there are ways to have a booming economy, and at the same time, try and give some space for biodiversity and some space for clean air, which is becoming an increasingly difficult problem. It's really not fair on people in cities to be breathing in air that has a dramatic adverse effect on their health that it does now, simply because we say, oh, it would be too expensive to put in the proper scrubbing on that factory, or similar economic arguments. It's just not right, and it doesn't make economic sense to stifle lives early and not to allow people to reach the full maximum of what they could contribute to the world.
And Tony, to bring it back to an hour up the road, 3 years is something we cannot wait for, obviously, because the amount of muck that'll be dumped in 3 years would be phenomenal. In fact, the whole project will be well finished, I would imagine, in that stage. So we can't afford to wait 3 years to have a discussion in relation to this. What's the immediate resolution to this, or how do we put a stop to it?
I think there has to be an environmental impact assessment so we can look at it. And one of the things that will ensure is that we look at the alternatives and we weigh them up properly. Because it can't be done in a kind of ad hoc manner where the overall picture isn't looked at and where we don't drill down deeply enough to get the answers and to make sure that we're not making mistakes, because heaven knows we all can make mistakes. So the key to this is to get this environmental impact assessment process going as soon as we can. The major dredging takes place every 5 years, the huge amounts. They do a certain amount every year, but the main thing is not an annual clean out, so that we have a little bit of time on our side, and they still have a boat that goes out 22 miles. So while we're going into this, I can't see any reason to allow them to change. But the key issue will be to get that environmental impact assessment in place and to get people who know about these things to contribute their knowledge so that we come out with the best decision in the end.
Tony Lowes, Friends of the Environment, of the Irish Environment, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Tony. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I always feel more enlightened and a little bit more knowledgeable having spoken to you. Tony, if you would do us one favour here on Northside Today at Near FM, you might keep an eye on this and keep us updated, and we will either talk to you again or we will update our listeners. Tony, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No problem. Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure.